Now we're 5 weeks out from the presidential election, the home stretch of a long and unusual campaign season, and Wisconsin is getting a lot of attention.
Candidates and candidate surrogates are planning Wisconsin visits over the next few weeks, including Republican candidate Donald Trump coming back, Donald Trump Jr., and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Chelsea Clinton spoke in Green Bay just last Friday. She told the story of a 12-year-old Mexican-American boy in Pennsylvania.
In less than 2 weeks, he's already been told three times to either go back to Mexico or I hope we build a wall so there are fewer of you here. When we talk about our children listening, this is not rhetorical.
And Donald Trump spoke in Waukesha last week. Here he says his crime policies will help everyone.
But those who will benefit most are African-American and Hispanic-American citizens living in high-crime communities. And people in Milwaukee, they're going to love Donald Trump. We're going to have safety.
And even though it's crunch time and even though Wisconsin is getting a lot of attention, it looks like the campaigns haven't gotten the same political donations from Wisconsinites as the candidates 4 years ago, according to a WisPolitics piece.
Polo Rocha joins us now. He's a reporter for WisPolitics. Polo, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with your reporting, looking at donations from Wisconsinites who gave last time around to either Barack Obama or Mitt Romney in the presidential election compared with this election cycle. And what did you find?
So basically, I looked at what some people call big donors, those folks that give $200 or more over the election cycle. In the 3 months last summer, June, July, and August, Obama and Romney each pulled in at least $1.2 million from them. Donald Trump in those 3 months pulled in $589,000, and Hillary Clinton pulled in $760,000.
So overall, looking at those numbers, what does that tell you about the amount of spending from people in Wisconsin on the presidential race this year?
So two things here is that Trump wasn't really focused on donations that early on. So his fundraising activity kind of picked up later in the summer. What the numbers can be explained by largely is Clinton is getting fewer donors that are racking up to that $200 level where they have to report out that they actually spent money in the race. Obama had, you know, about 9,000 of those donors that gave under $100, or sorry, that gave their donations were under $100. Clinton had much fewer of those donors. On the Romney-Trump side, Romney had a bunch of donors that gave at least $2,000 or so. Trump still has those donors, but the list is far fewer, so it's kind of a different for each candidate there.
So a little more pronounced on the Republican side, it sounds like.
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot of national stories about donors sitting out the presidential race or at least not putting that much money in. Instead, they're going to these competitive congressional races, some of these Senate seats. Sheldon Adelson, I think, is among those. So it's a little more pronounced here. A lot of those donors that gave to Romney are maybe not giving to Trump, but they're giving money toward Ron Johnson or the super PAC supporting him. They're giving money to Mike Gallagher in the 8th Congressional District, or they're giving money to some of the other Senate races around the country.
So based on what you've seen, is overall political donation down in Wisconsin, or is it just being refunneled to places other than the presidential race?
It's a little hard to tell. In a couple weeks, we're going to get a lot more data and reports from outside groups that will show that more clearly. But I think one thing is clear, that the campaigns themselves are getting less money directly. You know, there could be money going to other groups that support them or their joint fundraising committees. We're not going to know for a couple weeks, but they're certainly getting a lot less money from donors here.
Any ideas what's behind the decrease in Wisconsin donations?
It's difficult to know. You know, Obama obviously had a lot of support, and the decline in Clinton donations is from these small donors that, you know, give $10, $20 at a time, but, you know, 10 of those gets you to that $200 threshold. So she's definitely seeing fewer donations like that. Trump's seeing less donations from really a lot of like business owners. There's a story in the Wall Street Journal about a bunch of Fortune 500 CEOs not supporting Trump this time around. Trump kind of takes pride in that, says that, you know, he doesn't need the support of these big business owners, but that's also happening here.
It's interesting because you look back at the primary, Donald Trump did not win his primary in Wisconsin. Hillary Clinton did not win her primary. And at least looking at those numbers, it looks like that might have had some impact.
Yeah, and you can see that on the Clinton side, some of these donors donated to Bernie Sanders, and I think half of the top 15 also donated to Clinton. Trump, only two or three of those top 15 have donated to Trump. And so you definitely see that support, and some of those big donors obviously gave money to Scott Walker, to Carly Fiorina, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, as they are seeking to become the nominees. They still haven't given to Trump, though.
And we'll dig more deeply into this, but we have a passel of candidate visits, candidate and surrogates of candidates coming up here in Wisconsin. Why do you think Wisconsin is getting so much attention right now?
Well, things were pretty quiet for a big chunk of the summer. Then the most recent Marquette poll showed that Trump is within the margin of error from Clinton. And so ever since, we've been seeing a lot more surrogate visits. Donald Trump's son will be in Wisconsin tomorrow. Trump will be in Wisconsin on Saturday. Clinton's also got Bernie Sanders coming in, Chelsea Clinton, Elizabeth Warren. So you're seeing a lot more attention now.
We're talking to Polo Rocha right now from WisPolitics, talking about the latest from the presidential race and how it looks here in Wisconsin.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think it is meaningful that the candidates and their various representatives are spending so much time here in Wisconsin? Do you think Wisconsin will be an important state in the election next month? Are we a swing state? Have you gone to any of these campaign rallies? What did you think about it? And if we can ask, did you make a donation to one of the two presidential candidates or a third-party candidate? Why not? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation now about the presidential race and how it is playing out here in Wisconsin. Polo Rocha is with us from WisPolitics.
And we're taking your calls now at 800-642-1234. How do you see the presidential race playing out in your community? Do you think Wisconsin is still an important swing state? And who do you think will win in Wisconsin come November? And if you have been on the fence, how is it looking now? Is anything changing your mind? And what about these candidate visits? We've had Donald Trump in the state, Chelsea Clinton, Bernie Sanders will be here for Hillary Clinton. Do these visits from the candidates themselves or from the candidate surrogates, do they change things for you? Let us know at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Polo, back to you now. You mentioned you gave us a quick run through and about who was coming, and it's a lot of people. We've got Bernie Sanders for Hillary Clinton, Chelsea Clinton, Donald Trump, and Donald Trump Jr. Now, tell us where the Trump campaign will be next.
So Trump will be here on Saturday. We still don't know where exactly that will be. He was in Wisconsin last week, and so really ramping up their visits here. Clinton, on the other hand, she has not been here since she locked down the primary. She's got surrogates coming here, but it's still unclear whether she's going to make a stop here in the state.
Right. It's interesting that Hillary Clinton herself has not been in Wisconsin. She had a visit planned with President Obama the day before, or it was supposed to happen, I think, the day after the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando that was canceled, and she never rescheduled. Do you have any idea what's going on there and if we can expect to see her in the state?
Well, the Clinton team is very methodical and data-driven. They've got, you know, algorithms that kind of dictate where they're going to put money toward ads and kind of dictate where folks are going to be supporting her and, you know, making stump speeches for her. That said, she is sending surrogates here. Bernie Sanders will be in Madison tomorrow and in Green Bay. And she's really kind of making the pitch to those Bernie Sanders supporters, a lot of these college students here at the UW-Madison campus, that, you know, they should back her. And so she's had some trouble convincing those young voters. So this Sanders stop is definitely aimed at that.
So it's interesting that she's got Bernie Sanders coming to Madison, also Green Bay. But again, Bernie Sanders won the primary here in Wisconsin. What do you think she's hoping to gain from sending Bernie Sanders to a place where he really did a strong showing?
Right. Well, Bernie Sanders won here. And, you know, that's because More folks thought that his progressive message was the way to go. And he's been making the case for the past few weeks with a bunch of his supporters that she is the one that will take that progressive message and those progressive actions forward. So Elizabeth Warren will also be here. She obviously was a big voice, did not run this cycle, but she's a big voice among the progressive community. So Clinton's challenge is really kind of convincing those folks, especially young voters, that she is the candidate that they should vote for. And especially with Libertarian Gary Johnson pulling in a good chunk of support, she's going to want to bring some of those folks into her camp.
Do you know who's more likely to vote for Gary Johnson? I know millennials in general, I think I heard this week that a third of them seem to be voting for an independent candidate. But do we know if that's hurting one side or the other more or less in Wisconsin?
It's unclear at the moment. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but, you know, Johnson's definitely seeing some support nationally. He's seeing support from people here. And I think that the Clinton folks are starting to recognize that maybe it's enough that, you know, it could spoil their chances.
And looking at Donald Trump now, a difficult area of the state for him has been this area, you know, the southeast corner near Milwaukee, some of these suburbs. How is he working targeting that area now?
Right. So Clinton's challenges with these, you know, young voters, progressives, Trump's challenge is really that southeastern Wisconsin spot that supported Ted Cruz in the primaries. He was in Waukesha last week and pulled a pretty big crowd, overflow crowd to his rally, which, you know, has some people thinking that maybe he's kind of bridged that support. A lot of those folks in the Waukesha, that whole area, have really not been friendly to his message. So the big question for him is whether he can convince those voters to support him.
Trump himself has said that a recent poll showed a widening gap in his numbers between himself and Hillary Clinton, and he referenced Tommy Thompson giving him a call and saying, Don, this is a quote, Don, you got to get back here, so he's coming back here. Do we know how involved Tommy Thompson is in helping to stump for Donald Trump?
It's not clear. I mean, he was at the rally, but that does kind of show, though, you know, while I said that the Clinton folks are very methodical, very data-driven, you know, potentially call from Tommy Thompson, got Trump to recognize maybe he needs to make a stop here. So don't know particularly how involved Tommy is, but he's certainly involved.
Going to take a caller now. We've got Artie on the line in Waukesha. Artie, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to share?
Well, I was a Bernie supporter. I'm a Clinton supporter now. And there's no way I want Trump in the office. He's mentally ill. He's evil. He's the worst thing for this country that has happened in a century.
Artie, thanks for the call. Artie saying he was a supporter of Bernie Sanders. Now he is supporting Hillary Clinton, sounds like primarily to stop Donald Trump from taking the White House. Do you have a sense about how those Bernie Sanders supporters are feeling in Wisconsin right now?
Well, I think a lot are obviously backing Clinton. Some are skeptical. Some, you know, are backing her because they really don't like Trump. The question is, like, how many of those are going to vote for Clinton and how many might stay home? Really hard to gauge that so far. But, you know, with these tax revelations so far that from the New York Times, I think Clinton's going to try to make that argument easier.
Polo, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Polo Rocha, reporter for WISP Politics, and he joined us to talk about the presidential race, how it looks here in Wisconsin.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. The Donald J. Trump Foundation can no longer raise money in the state of New York under an order announced yesterday by the State Office of the Attorney General. The announcement came after a Washington Post piece found that the presidential candidate's personal charity had failed to register with the state as a charity.
That's the latest in a series of irregularities at the Trump Foundation, from reports of an illegal political contribution in Florida to indications that Trump might be using foundation money for personal debts, legal settlements, and in auctions for items used for non-charity related purposes.
Our next guest has been breaking most of those stories after he initially set out to verify a list of donations that Trump had taken credit for.
David Farenthold joins us now. He's a reporter at the Washington Post. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm glad to be here.
Let's start with this newest news from New York State. Why is the Trump Foundation barred from fundraising there now?
Well, in New York State, which is where the Trump Foundation is headquartered, there's a law that says that if you're going to solicit money from the public, if you're a charity soliciting money from the public, you have to register with the state, you have to obtain a special kind of registration, and you have to undergo regular, rigorous, independent audits to make sure that you're not squandering the money the public gives you. Trump's foundation has been raising money from the public since 2009, raising all its money from the public since 2009, and it never got registered. So we discovered that, and when we asked the Attorney General about it, the next day they decided to order the Trump Foundation to cease and desist fundraising until they got in compliance.
So without that compliance, there isn't that oversight that another charity would be getting.
That's right. That's important here. It's not just that they didn't check a box and pay the extra $25 every year, although they didn't do that. The key here is that if they had registered properly, they would have had an outside accountant looking at their books every year, making sure that the donations Trump was claiming credit for, did they match the actual outgoing checks? And most importantly, was Trump using the money in the foundation to buy things for himself or to settle his business's legal disputes, which he was? If they had an audit earlier on, those things might have been caught.
We'll get into some of those things that you've written about that have happened with the Trump Foundation. But what is an organization like the Trump Foundation supposed to be? How are things supposed to work?
Well, if they're going to be asking for money from the public, they should go to the state and apply for this special certification, get the audits. The interesting thing is that Eric Trump, Trump's son, has his own foundation that has the same accountant at the same firm as Donald Trump's foundation. Eric Trump's foundation did it right. They registered, they got the independent audits, and Donald Trump's foundation never did.
Big picture, they should be raising money and then giving it away. That's how these foundations usually work, right?
That's right. And that's the Trump Foundation is unusual in that it has Trump's name on it. It's set up like the kind of foundation that a lot of wealthy people set up that just gives away their own money. But Trump has not put his own money into it since 2008. And so almost all of the money in that foundation is from somebody else. So if you do that and you give the other people's money away, as I said, you have to get the certification, and they never did.
Now, what kinds of things has the Trump Foundation been used for that you've reported on? Where has some of this money gone?
Well, we've identified a number of cases in which Trump seems to have used the foundation basically to buy things for himself. So, for instance, two different cases where he bought giant portraits of himself, one 6 foot tall for $20,000 and one 4 foot tall for $10,000. He bought a Tim Tebow Broncos football helmet signed. He bought it at sort of the peak of Tebow's popularity as the Broncos quarterback. He bought that for $12,000. And he also, in bigger numbers, he used the Trump Foundation's money to basically pay off legal settlements involving his for-profit businesses. To pick one example, one of Trump's clubs in Florida owed the town of Palm Beach $120,000 in unpaid code enforcement fines. As part of a legal settlement, the town said, okay, we're going to waive that $120,000, but you, the club, have to pay $100,000 to a charity. And what Trump did was basically his club spent nothing. His for-profit business spent nothing, but his charity stepped in and paid the $100,000. You can't do that. The charity's money is meant to help the charity's aims. You can't use the charity to save your business money.
And things have worked the other way, too, as you've reported. Debts that apparently should have gone to Donald Trump or his corporations, he's taken a payment to the Trump Foundation.
That's right. So he said at least $2.3 million worth, which is the bulk of the money that he's raised in the last 4 years. He said, okay, you owe me money. Either one case it was for appearing on a Comedy Central roast, in other cases it's the things he sold to a ticket broker in New York. He says, you owe me this money or owe my business this money, but don't pay me, pay the foundation. Now, you can do that. That's legal, but it's Donald Trump's income for tax purposes. If he earned the money and he determined where the money went, even if he doesn't get it, it counts as his income, and he needs to pay income tax on it. Now, for $1.9 million of that money, the Trump campaign has not answered our question about whether he paid income tax.
Talking to David Fahrenthold from the Washington Post about his coverage of the Trump Foundation and Donald Trump's charitable donations. And David, has the Trump Foundation, the Trump campaign, said much in response to what you've written about?
Not a heck of a lot. The one response they gave me was a few weeks ago in response to a question about what we were just discussing, these cases where Trump takes debts that are owed to him and has them pay the foundation instead. Their first response, the Trump campaign, was to say that had never happened. That never in the history of the Trump Foundation had that ever happened. In fact, they said what Trump does is if people owe him money, he says, you know, forget it. You don't owe me any money. I renounce the debt that you owed me. But if you want to give to any charity, not my charity necessarily, any charity, that's fine with me. And they said that's how the money comes in. And I said, are you sure? There's never been a case where he just directed the money from the people owed him to his foundation. And the, what the Trump campaign told me was, well, that's for you to figure out. And I did. I presented them with a number of cases where it seemed like the opposite of what they said had happened. And they haven't answered a lot of my questions about that.
You've talked also in the course you're reporting to people who are experts on philanthropy, on foundations, on charitable giving. What do they make of what they see at the Trump Foundation?
They are amazed. I talk to people who worked for the IRS or have worked in private practice for years who say that they've never seen a foundation, a private foundation, with this level of dysfunction, with this level of apparent violations of the law. What I've heard from people was either Trump was just not asking anyone, any lawyer, any accountant, how to run his foundation, or they were telling him how to do it and he wasn't listening, because no lawyer or accountant would have told him to do it the way that he was doing it.
I use the phrase apparent violations of the law. Are there things here that are prosecutable that might, in comparable cases, have been prosecuted in other foundations or charities?
Sure. The key in tax law prosecution is it's not like murder or other kind of criminal law where ignorance is not a defense. You can't say, well, I didn't know murder was illegal. In the tax law, it's so complicated that you actually can say, I didn't know that was illegal. Even if you did it on purpose, if you didn't know it was illegal, then you can't be prosecuted. So it's possible that this set of facts could give rise to some sort of tax evasion prosecution, especially if Trump was taking money in on the front end and not paying income tax on it, and then using that untaxed income to buy things he would have bought anyway. That's the beginning of a possible criminal investigation. But what they would have to prove is that he knew what he was doing was against the law, and he did it anyway. That's a very difficult bar to pass.
I want to go back to kind of your entry point into this story. You started by checking Donald Trump's statements about charitable donations he'd made, and you tried to verify them. Remind us, this got a lot of coverage when your reporting came out. Remind us of some of what you found.
Sure. Well, it started back in January. Trump skipped a debate that Fox News was holding and held a televised fundraiser for veterans in Iowa. And he said at the time on television that he'd raised $6 million and he'd given $1 million of his own. And months went by, and we couldn't find any evidence that he had actually given away the $1 million that he'd said he'd given. And in fact, he wasn't giving away a lot of the money that other people had entrusted to his foundation for him to give away. So at the end of May, Corey Lewandowski, who was then Trump's campaign manager, called me and said, Mr. Trump has given his $1 million away, but we won't tell you where or when or to who or in what amounts. It's all private. Now, remember, he'd claimed credit for this publicly, but he didn't want to give the details about whether he'd actually given it away on the back end. And so we went looking for it to try to see if there was any evidence that anybody had gotten any of this $1 million Trump had supposedly given out. And it turned out that what we'd been told was false. Trump had actually given none of his own money out. He'd given zero. And it was only after we and other media outlets put a lot of pressure on him that Trump actually followed through and gave the $1 million 4 months later that he said he'd given in January. That was the beginning of all this, and we started looking more broadly at his charitable promises after that.
There's been a lot of talk, of course, about Donald Trump's taxes. A sneak peek at one piece of his tax declarations just came out earlier this week. Would a lot of these questions be answered if we had detailed tax reporting?
Certainly. The thing that I have spent a lot of time this year trying to prove is that Donald Trump actually does give money to charity out of his own pocket. He said all along that he gives millions and millions of dollars out of his own pocket to charity. But I've looked, and between 2008 and this May, I can only find one gift out of his own pocket, and that was for less than $10,000 in 2009. If Trump really was giving millions of dollars out of his own pocket, if we saw his tax returns, we'd know.
So donations that he has said, a lot of these comes back to the Trump Foundation. The donations actually come from the Trump Foundation.
Yeah, in all the cases except for that one that I mentioned, when Trump seemed to have given a donation or when he was credited with giving a donation in that period, it was never, that I've found, his own money. It was always the Trump Foundation, which was, again, other people's money.
So you've been spending your time trying to track this down. Is this something that you think people in the political world, in the voting world, are going to pay attention to? Is this something that will sway them when it comes to Donald Trump?
I have given up trying to make pundit predictions about what people will pay attention to, because everything that I've predicted all along about this election has been completely wrong. I don't know. To me, this is a really interesting way to look at the sort of moral responsibility of wealth. Trump has a lot of money. A lot of people who have a lot of money like he does want to give back, want to sacrifice something of themselves to help others. And Trump sort of wants to play that role. He's often tried to cast himself as a philanthropist. But what I've found, it seems like instead of sacrificing something of his own for others, instead he tries to find a way to have other people sacrifice for him. So when he appears to be generous, when he appears to be giving of his own, he's actually giving other people's money. And he tries to sort of have that appearance of philanthropy without the actual sacrifice that usually is involved.
And one sidebar, you mentioned the Donald Trump portraits he'd bought. As I understand it, if they were on the wall at the foundation or being used for charitable purposes, that would be okay. One of those portraits was found. You wrote about that.
Yes, and one of them, as you said, if the foundation paid for them, which it did, then they're owned by the foundation. They have to be used for charitable aims, charitable purposes. So we discovered, one of my readers discovered one of these portraits paid for with $10,000 worth of foundation money hanging on the wall of a sports bar at Trump's golf resort at Doral outside Miami. Now, that is not a soup kitchen. It's a bar. It's a bar where Trump makes money. So the Trump campaign's explanation is that, well, Trump is actually just doing his charity a favor by storing its portrait on the wall of the sports bar. So I ran that explanation by some tax experts, and one of them said, it's hard to make an IRS auditor laugh, but that would do it.
We'll leave it there for now. David, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's David Farenthold. He's a reporter at the Washington Post. He's been reporting on ongoing irregularities at the Trump Foundation.